Hello, everybody. I hope you're all well, and welcome back to Voice Notes with Jawn Teresa. Oh my gosh, I cannot believe that I am finally back. I can't lie to you, my boyfriend is talking to his friends on his headset. BRB. So, I can't lie to you guys, this episode was meant to be different. I was meant to be coming from you live and direct from the stew, from the studio. But I've literally been on the podcast for a minute and I'm already spreading my legs. But I walked all the way to the station today and it was closed. And the next closest station to get to where my office is Highbury and Islington. And it said an 18-minute walk on Google Maps, but I was wearing like uncomfortable loafers. So I knew it would take me half an hour. It actually was not worth wasting the time. Like, no offense, guys. You guys don't listen to me for the background or watch me for the background. So I've decided to just film from home, be time efficient. Has it taken the wind out of my wings slightly? Yeah. And also my headphones were broken. I have like Sony headphones and all of a sudden it started sounding really tinny. So I think I've either accidentally changed the setting on it or I've broken them. I don't know, but I was like, you know what? I'm just going to record the podcast episode at home. They don't really care. They don't care. But next episode is actually with a guest. So I'm not sure how much of the studio you'll see because we're doing it over Zoom. But the episode after that, you guys will see the studio. And also, it's not just a podcast studio. It's also my office. And one thing about me, I love being part of the rat race now. I love getting into work and texting my boyfriend being like, oh God, the commute. Commute was murder. Oh, like I fucking love it because I used to commute back when I was a beautician because I worked in a salon in central London. So I used to commute every day and I've been working from home for the past 3 years. And one thing I will say is that working in office has truly, truly completely changed my productivity. I'm so much more productive now and I love getting out of the house every single day. I think there's a lot of things that I'm learning being in a studio because basically how the studio works is that it's mostly used as offices. So I can't really record podcast episodes during the week. Like it's just not feasible. It's just not feasible, babe. It's not possible because there's other offices next to me making noise, which is fine. It's completely in their right to do. So I started going there on weekends to record episodes and record videos. But I was violently humbled by my comment section of my last video where everyone said it like I was filming in prison. So I think that I am going to film main channel videos at home, podcast episodes in the studio, and just see how I get on for the year. And then if, you know, because my year contract ends in December, if I really like recording episodes in the studio, then obviously I'm going to keep it. But if not, I will still hire out an office. But obviously, it's just going to be a lot smaller because it's just going to be me and my desk. Do you know what I mean? But I'm excited to see how this work plays out, how this works out. But yes, guys, the rumors are true. I did hit 500,000 subscribers. Woo! Let's do a little cheer run. Yay! It only started setting in quite recently because I don't know, like how crazy. Like it's just such a crazy thing. And oh my God, let me tell you guys. So I like hit 500,000 subscribers. I was in bed and I was like, woo, Len was playing his PlayStation. I was like, woo, and he was like, woo. And then that was sort of it. And then obviously I posted it on my story. Everyone's congratulating me. Oh God, I love the attention, guys. Like, I just love the attention. The next day, my friend Jack, yes, guys, first Jack drop of season 3 of Voice Notes. So my friend Jack, he had the Argyle premiere the day after, and Jack is working with Central St. Martin's and had a student design his outfit, and it was literally so cool. Like, I'm actually so proud of him. So he was like, do you want to come with me to premiere? I was like, yes. Like, one thing about me is I love having a famous bestie because he takes me to everything and and it's great. So he was like, do you want to come? And I was like, oh my God, yeah, of course. So this is like his day, right? Like he's got like a glam squad. He's got like a glam squad. He's getting like his outfits done, all of this. I walk into his hotel room. He's gotten me a cake, a 500,000 subscribers cake and flowers. And then after the premiere, surprised with me, with my boyfriend and all of my friends. And we sat in his hotel room and had drinks and celebrated. Like, guys, isn't that the cutest thing in the entire world? I just love when your friends like cheer on your achievements, because I think it's so easy. I'm going to talk about this more in the episode, but I think it's boots do not lick that. No, I think it's so easy to like sort of not really live in the moment and like celebrate your achievements properly. I think it's so easy to do that. It's so easy to fall into those kinds of habits, especially because I would describe myself as quite an ambitious person, and I'm very much always like on to the next thing, like all the time. So I celebrated it for like 10 seconds in bed, and then that was it. So like to have like the cake and my friends surprised me, and I got to take pictures, and I got to post them all on Instagram, and then everyone else is being so nice in my comment section. Like, guys, like it was the nicest thing. But who wants to know what I bought as my 500,000 subscriber present to myself? Also Eleanor sent me a personalized bottle of Prosecco, so sweet. So let me tell you guys what I got as a present for myself. So have I bought myself presents for any of my other milestones? I don't think so. I buy myself presents a lot, like just in general. But I buy myself like birthday presents and Christmas presents and all that. But every single time I buy myself a birthday present or a Christmas present, it's always clothes. Like no matter what, it's always clothes. And this was like a big thing for me that this is a big thing for me. I know, guys, I'm so brave. But no, this is like a thing for me that I really, really wanted to have it not be clothes, because I buy clothes so often. Now that I do like fashion stuff on Instagram, clothes is part of my job. Like I wanted to do something outside of that. So guys, I have bought myself new towels, new fancy towels, and a matching bath mat. I bought them from Tekla Fabrics, which is like such an it girl brand. They do like bed sheets, pajamas, and towels. And I bought, I think it's called like raspberry and something, like striped towels, and one for me and Lem, and a bath mat. Because the bath mat in my bathroom, I put it... I don't know what happened, but I put it in the washing machine and it came out like it had been mauled by a dog. Like I've actually never seen anything like it. So it's got holes in it. It looks disgusting. And also my bathroom. So my bathroom is, it's something is what I will say. Cleaning the bathroom is my least favorite chore. I absolutely hate it. Our light bulbs went out a few months ago and it took us so long to replace them that when we did, we replaced them accidentally with bright white lights, like, you know, like hospital lighting, the lighting that you see when you enter the gates of heaven. And we have not bothered to change it since. And yeah, sure, we clean it, but we never truly deep clean it. Our towels are all mismatching. Our bath mat looks like it's been mauled by a rabid animal. Like it's not good in there. And also, like, it's not just because of me. My bathroom isn't a state just because of me. I've shared my landlord law or my landlord no my landlord conspiracy theories. I have shared my landlord conspiracy theories with you guys, but basically I have the conspiracy theory that my landlord has not touched this flat in, I would say, over 10 years. Like everything in here is just very old. I love my flat. I am planning to stay here for the foreseeable future, touch wood. I'm planning on staying here for the foreseeable future. But that does not mean that on its own, the flat just has not been touched. And the thing which it shows the most in is the bathroom. The bath panels are peeling and like lifting off. And the worst part is the flooring. The flooring is just like the original wood panels of the house. Like they haven't put down any wood panels. And I know this because my stepdad lays flooring. So I know my shit. Yeah. So it's just like the actual like rock hard flooring of the house. And he's just painted over it with like a grey blue paint. It's like chipping away. It's like it's quite a state. And next year when we do renew, I do want to ask my landlord to just change the flooring in there. My stepdad's actually willing to do it free of charge because like it's just so gross looking. And I asked him if like I could do like the stick on vinyl stuff or like the stick on panels. And he said it's just a load of rubbish. Like that stuff doesn't work. If you want to put fresh vinyl down, you've got to put plywood down, all of this. And that's just stuff that I'm not allowed to do to the property without my landlord's permission. And then even if I do it with his permission, there is the added risk that he's going to kick me out at the end of the year and put the rent up. I love renting, guys. But okay, so my bathroom has not been, it's not been the best part of my house. So I bought new towels. I'm going to Argos next week and buying new light bulbs. And I cannot believe I'm about to admit this on the internet. I don't know why this like feels so weird, but I actually hired a cleaner to just clean the bathroom. I could not face it myself. So I just went on like one of those cleaning apps, hired someone for 2 hours. And I said, I was like, oh, just do the bathroom. And she finished the bathroom within half an hour and started doing the kitchen, the living room, a bit of the bedroom. And then when the 2 hours was up, she actually worked longer than 2 hours. Obviously, I tipped her, absolute queen. And then she was like, if you want me to deep clean anything else, like just call me. And we exchanged numbers. And I just cannot like believe how much of a difference it makes having somebody else clean for you, like, because it's just so much cleaner. Like, she's a professional. And yeah, so the towels haven't arrived yet, but the bathroom is clean. The bathroom is clean. And the lights haven't been done. I'm changing the lights and then I'm going to change the towels over. And then I feel like it's truly going to be transformed. And that is my 500,000 subscriber present. Is a transformed bathroom. And like, I really do think it's gonna make an impact like on my mental health for the good. Like, I'm excited. And like, you can tell, like, guys, look at my positive energy. Look how excited I am for my like mini bathroom transformation. Yeah. So what have I got to tell you? Happy New Year. I'm uploading this on the first day of February. But I think that New Year is a very interesting time. I have very indifferent to positive feelings towards January. I really do not mind. I do not get the January blues like at all. Because to be honest, I'm not a huge Christmas person really. Like, I like Christmas. In this household, I am the Christmas person because Lem is so indifferent towards Christmas. But I am not a hugely Christmas person. And if I'm going to be honest, I actually find November to be a harder month than January, because November, it's the transitional period when the clocks go back, and I just get really what do you call it, it's like a word for like lethargic. I get really lethargic and tired, and that is something that really impacts my mental health, and it not like impacts it massively, but it just makes me feel a bit down in the dumps and very demotivated. So I actually have pretty like neutral to positive feelings towards January, because I love the fact that people see January as a fresh start. Like, I think that's just nice. I think that people viewing like certain time periods as a fresh start is just really nice. And I feel so on top of my work at the moment, and I'm feeling really motivated and really positive and really good. And I personally found that I was really on top of everything with work, with like my friendships and my relationship. But the one thing that I felt like I was falling behind on was housework. And I think maybe that's why it started to grate on my mental health a little bit in sort of November and December, was the fact that I wasn't dedicating any proper time to cleaning up properly, tidying up properly. I was just do like tidy ups in 5 minutes, which would then get messy in 5 minutes. Like, I wasn't doing anything like a true deep clean and tidy. So what I did towards the end of the month, because I'd been really busy with work, but when I mustered up the courage, I plucked up the courage, I cleared out like behind my mirror, I cleared out the living room, I cleared out my bedroom, I cleared out my wardrobe, and me and Kimberly are selling our clothes at the Car Boot tomorrow. Woo! Wish us luck. We're gonna sell our clothes at the Car Boot tomorrow. Again, like new year, new ass, right? But again, also, I don't think there's any major pressure to think of like New Year's resolutions and stuff. I don't have any New Year's resolutions because one thing I realized is that whenever I set goals for the year, I actually don't have any goals outside of work. And it actually makes me feel like I don't have a personality outside of my job. And that's something which I am not quite... willing to confront. But yeah, no, I don't really have any goals for this year other than to really like knock this year is going to be a year of work. It's going to be a year of work and like progressing my career. But I am really, really excited. You know what's a month that really gets me down a little bit? Who wants to know? March. Yeah, if March has zero haters, I'm dead. Let me tell you about my dislike for March. So to me, March is that month where you have been in winter for months. It's been so long. The weather is dreadful. It's cold. You're fed up. And summer is on the tip of your tongue. It's so close yet so far. And March is such a fucking long month. Yeah, no. March, if March has zero haters, I'm dead. March is the month that I would probably say it's my least favorite month of the year, March and November. But yes, I moved into my studio. Such a shame I can't show you guys yet, but it's great to use as an office. And I moved in towards the end of December. And one thing, so what you guys are going to see when I film an episode in the setup is that I'm sat on some lovely beanbag chairs. One thing that I was not made aware of is that beanbag chairs do not come pre-beaned. Oh, I was violently humbled. I had to fill up the bean bags myself. I had no assistance with me. I had to use an IKEA plant pot to hand fill the bean bags. It took me longer to fill up two bean bag chairs than it did to build 5 pieces of furniture. I wish I was joking. It was so painful. And I'm honestly so glad I got it over and done with fast, because if I had left it last, I actually think I would have lost the will to live. Now, I did say that I feel indifferent to positive feelings towards January, but what I do need to mention is the fact that January is, for me, January and February are the month of 1,000 birthdays. So I have multiple friendship groups, and within these friendship groups, I have 7 birthdays, and they're all one after the other. And I, at these birthday parties, so a couple weeks ago, Jake had a house party. The week before, Lena had karaoke. Tonight, Eleanor is having a birthday party. I have been drinking so much. And then I was also drinking on New Year's Eve. I have been drinking so much that it's beginning to not necessarily affect my mental health. It's just I'm exhausted. Like, I am so fed up of waking up on Sunday and being so fucking hungover, not to mention the fact that I've got to sell my clothes at the car boot tomorrow. So we are nearly halfway through the month for 1,000 birthdays. I will be 3 down, 4 to go. So today I decided to go semi-sober. Who wants to hear about my plan? So the original plan was to go sober and to not drink anything. Because I was like, I cannot take this anymore. Like, I can't take this anymore. I'm drinking way too much. Like, I'm so tired. Like, I keep waking up on Monday and being absolutely exhausted. But I have realized that that is not particularly realistic. And also, it's not like I'm one of those people where once I've had a lick of alcohol, I need to get absolutely like off my face, white girl wasted. Like, I'm not really like that at all. It's just I'm like actively drinking because I'm enjoying it. That's the problem, right? So basically, my plan tonight is to go semi-sober. And what I mean by that is that the drink that is going to be in my hand at all times is going to be an alcohol-free drink. I did actually pop to Sainsbury's after I was walking back from the station with my tail between my legs because it was closed. And I went into Sainsbury's to see if I could pick up like an alcohol-free gin and tonic or something. And the only 0.0 thing they had was Heineken. Sorry, but I am not going to drink. I wouldn't even drink Heineken with alcohol in it. What makes you think I'm going to drink Heineken 0.0? No offense to any Heineken 0.0 fans in the room, but oh my God, Heineken 0.0? No, to be that for that to be their only option as well. honestly, poor form, poor form. So my plan for today is the drink that is going to be in my hand, because everyone holds a drink at party, is going to be alcohol free. I will try and find a 0.0 drink, or I'll fill it up with a Coke, Fanta, lemonade, Ribena, maybe an energy drink, literally anything. And then little drinks that I have here and there will have alcohol in them. And what I mean by that is I've been to many of Eleanor's parties. I know Eleanor's parties like the back of my hand, okay? So Prosecco Pong, I'm going to join in and I'm going to drink the shots of Prosecco, because it's just the bottom of a glass filled with Prosecco. Because I think, I guess like one of the slight, I guess like qualms and like problems with like trying to go sober at a party is that it often becomes a talking point, and that's not what I want it to be. I don't want it to be like, oh, I'm not drinking because of X, Y, Z, because I just don't want to talk, like, who can be asked? Like, who cares? No one actually cares why someone's not drinking. Do you know what I mean? So also nothing's worse than when you're playing Prosecco Pong with someone, because this happens a lot. You're playing like beer pong or Prosecco Pong, and then you go, woo, like you get it in, you go, woo, and then the person goes, oh, I'm not drinking. Why are you playing then? Like, there's actually no stakes for you to be here. Like, don't play. So I am going to drink the Prosecco at Prosecco Pong, which will probably amount to about 2 or 3. And then when there's like a Jello shot, because Eleanor has a shot bell at her parties and she makes Jello shots, when there's a Jello shot, I will have a Jello shot. But see, I feel like throughout the night, I'm probably going to have tops 3 bottoms of a cup of Prosecco and 1 Jello shot, maybe 2 at a purge. So I reckon I'll have a light buzz on. But again, like, not enough to get me drunk. And I'm going to be drinking something alcohol free the entire time, which will probably wash the alcohol out of my system. And hopefully, I'll wake up hangover free. Can we all just pray for me? Can we all just pray for me? Just the last like 7 days of my life have been so nice. Like the last two, I've had a really good couple of weeks. So first of all, the big news for me is that there is an Until Dawn movie adaptation that is in the works. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, this is huge. This is absolutely huge. I think I want to talk about it more in another episode, because I've got so much to talk about in today's episode. But like, if you don't know, I was a huge fan of the Until Dawn game when I was 18, which was in like 2016, 2017. And I cannot even begin to explain how excited I am for this game. Sorry, I didn't mean to scream, but it's actually my favourite horror game. I replayed it literally 6 months ago, which is really weird now that there's a movie coming out. And me and Dom are such huge fans of the game, and literally my whole Twitter was all just Until Dawn. And guys, that fandom has been dead in the water for years, and now my TikTok is all Until Dawn, and it's just so good. It's so good. If anyone wants to know who my favourites are Jess and Emily, and I also really like Chris as well. Oh, wait, no, Mike as well. My top three, the big three, I would say is Emily, Jess, Mike. If I was putting them in order, I'd put Mike and Emily like joint first, and then Jess. I don't know, there's something that I just love about is slutty really derogatory, but that is what her horror archetype is like, the slutty girl. I just absolutely love that. Like, I absolutely love it. And I think there's a lot more to her character, and oh guys, I really hope this film is good. I'm so excited. But yes, I highly recommend that game. I highly recommend watching playthroughs as well. Everyone's playthroughs are always so entertaining. So also, I've booked a holiday. Who wants to know about the holiday I've booked? So the holiday that I've booked is I'm going to Amsterdam. Who wants to hear how well I line this up? So I messaged my friends group chat like, are we going on holiday this year together? I've got to plan my work. And Lena was like, oh yeah, like I think we're all going to a festival in Amsterdam. I don't want to say what festival it is in case like I have like a stalker listening and like would trap, like, you've got to be careful about these things. But yeah, basically she said they were all going to a festival. Me and Lem actually had booked a couple's like little holiday for 5 days to Amsterdam, and then we're going to split off and I'm going to join my friends at the festival. Like, we lined it up so well. I'm so excited. Like, it's going to be the best holiday ever. I'm literally so excited. Like, I just love having a holiday booked. I love having a holiday booked. And then yesterday, day before yesterday, me and Jack, we used the spa in the hotel he was staying at, and then we went for ramen. Oh, it was just so, so good. I've just had such a lovely few days. And today, I walked to the station, took the wind out of my wings a little bit, but also I don't think it was a bad thing because I got to get some fresh air. And I think that's a good thing, fresh air during the day. And then I filmed a little fashion reel for my Instagram, and then I filmed another reel and I posted the reel, and it's actually doing really well. I'm becoming an Instagram influencer. Sorry, being an Instagram influencer is actually, it's actually really fun. It's actually so fun. I'm having a look at, oh my God, guys, my reel is actually performing quite well. It has 3,000 likes in a couple of hours, which is like so rare for me. Slay. Okay. So, should we do TV show I'm watching, book I'm reading, song I'm listening to? Okay, so I haven't actually been watching that many TV shows. What TV shows have I been watching? Me and Lem have been rewatching Friends. We've been watching a bit of Friday Night Dinner because I've never seen it before. You know what? I actually didn't watch The Traitors this year. I watched The Traitors last year and it was really good. I didn't watch The Traitors this year. And also, I have not been watching Love Island All Stars. I think Love Island All Stars is really interesting because I think in theory, it sounds like a great idea, right? Like, oh, let's bring back the iconic Islanders like Chris and Maura and Ovi and Kem and Olivia and, I'm trying to think of others. Jack Fowler and India, and do you know what I mean? But first of all, a lot of them are in relationships, like Ekin-Su. There we go, I nearly forgot another icon. First of all, a lot of them are in relationships. Second of all, relationships aside, the iconic Islanders that we want to see, and I mean this in the least like shady and hateful way possible, they are onto bigger and better things. And I'm not saying that Love Island is like lowly or anything, but it is a reality show at the end of the day. And I personally think that if you come out of Love Island and everyone likes you, you have dodged an absolute bullet. And anybody who has their head screwed on properly would never go back on that show if they came out looking good. They would never ever take that risk again. I think the only people that are coming back to the show are the people that maybe don't have a lot going on. And I think that sounds so mean, but it's just a fact. And not only are we seeing quite like irrelevant Islanders that we did not really want to see, but also they all know each other. Some of them have even slept together, and it's sort of giving like an ex on the beach vibe that I don't care about it. Like, I actually don't care. Like, I'm sorry. I honestly am just of the belief that Love Island only works in the summer. Like, I've never watched the winter Love Island because, I mean, to be fair, every winter Love Island has been significantly worse than the summer Love Island. But that's why I never watched the winter Love Island, because it just doesn't hit the same way as when, like, you're watching it and it's still light outside and you've just come back from a bloody after work drinks at the pub. And, like, do you know what I mean? It just doesn't work. But let me run you guys through the movies that I've watched. I am in my movie watching era. I love watching films. I'm just like really, really into it right now. So let me tell you guys the films that I've watched. And I'll tell you what I rated them on Letterboxd. I have a Letterboxd. It's Jordan A. Teresa, for anyone that wants to follow me. And just, I don't leave reviews, but I do ratings. So you guys can see what films that I've rated. So May, December, I gave 4 stars. Suzume, I gave 4.5 stars. The Night Before, I gave 4 stars. Surprisingly good film. It's a Christmas film but an adult Christmas film with Seth Rogen and Joseph Gordon-Levitt and Anthony Mackie. And it was actually really funny. Like, I was really pleasantly surprised. There was a lot of like comedian cameos in it as well. Like, it was actually so much fun. I also watched The Bling Ring, which I think I gave that 3. Blue Valentine, which I gave 5 stars. And then last night I watched Anatomy of a Fall, which I gave 5 stars as well. Incredible film. Really incredible film. That kid can act his ass off. Like, oh my God, so bloody good. The book I'm reading Tomorrow, Tomorrow and Tomorrow. I'm trying to get into my reading by switching over to fiction, and I am enjoying it a lot more. I just honestly, I find reading so hard, because I guess your eyeballs are like programmed to your phone, so you're just so used to scrolling and like skim reading that trying to all of a sudden, it's like you have to just switch over and read and consume words in a completely different way, which I think can be really hard. Like, I know that sounds so absurd, but it's like training a muscle, right? I have to train the muscle. And then the song I'm listening to, to get me excited for this festival in Amsterdam, I've been listening to Octo, which is like a DJ. I know, get me guys, I'm literally such a techno girl now. Just to get me all excited, and it actually gets me so pumped for the morning. And then a podcast I'm listening to, I've been listening to Here for the Crack with Emma Neal. I love a little solo podcast vibe. Like, I think solo podcasts are so good at like leveling you out. I feel like solo podcasts are really good for like doing housework and stuff as well. Sorry, I'm like propping my feet up. Who likes my socks, by the way? These socks, if you're not watching, I cannot remember what they're made of, but they're made of what I can only describe as the softest material ever. And they're like blue, like knitted socks. They're so comfortable. Oh my God, that better not be a hole. No, it's okay. And then I've also been listening to my friend Dom's podcast. My friend Dom just released a podcast. He literally only has 1 episode out, and he's so good at it. Like, he's such a natural. And it's called POV with Dom, if you guys want to listen to it. So good. Highly recommend. So if we actually get onto the subject at hand. Oh my God. Sorry, it's been a long time since I've spoken to you guys. So I'm truly pumped and I'm ready to go. But if we... if we actually get onto the topic at hand after talking to you guys for half an hour. So today's episode is going to be about my ins and outs for 2024. I know that I am so unbelievably late to this. I'm literally uploading this on the 1st of February, but also in a way it's actually never too late. And I know that you guys will be interested to know this. And I think this is such a good episode, like an idea for like podcast episodes, YouTube videos, Instagram posts and things like that. I think it's, and like TikToks, I think it's so much fun because everyone's is so different and you can bounce off and trail off often talk about like so many different things, and I think it's great. You can keep them as long as you want, as short as you want. So I'm gonna bounce between an in and an out just to keep it fresh and exciting. So I guess this could almost be like New Year's resolutions, couldn't it? But some of these are ridiculous. So my first in for 2024 is being present. So I would love to know if any of you guys feel the same way, but I find that I am not a very present person at all. I find that I am constantly on to the next thing, to my detriment. Like, yeah, sure, I would describe myself as a very ambitious person, and I think that's a good quality to have, but I honestly think that I am ambitious to my detriment. I never just sit and appreciate what I've got. So I find that, like, when I moved into my first flat, like within a month of living there, I was on Rightmove looking at other flats. When I finally got like settled with my job, I was looking at studios to move to. When I moved into this flat, I was looking at other flats to move into. And I just find that I'm very, very rarely am I like present in the moment, like appreciating the moment that I'm living in. And honestly, I think a lot of it has got to do with like trauma. So again, I would love to know if anybody else feels this way, because I've explained this to Lem, and Lem was just like, he's like, I don't have the experience at all. But basically, I have a very active imagination, and when I was younger, I had quite like a traumatic like childhood and teenage years. I've spoken about it literally a million times in the podcast. So I found that in that, and also like in my young adult, I had like quite hard like young adult years as well. Like, I truly did not believe that I started living until I was like 21. So I would say up until then, my imagination would just run absolutely wild. And I would just sit around, like when I was walking to places, when I was sat on public transport, when I was at home, the only things that I would think of was like these imaginary scenarios in my head. And I was never ever present in the moment because I did not like my present. I did not like my life. Like, I'm going to keep it real. I did not like or enjoy my life. So I used these imaginary scenarios as a coping mechanism. And it worked. It worked. Like, I don't think that it was a bad thing at all. But the problem is that now that my life is no longer bad, I still can't quite shake these habits of like constantly imagining different things, imagining what my life would be like in XYZ situation, thinking what I should do next, what I should move on to next. And you know, my brain is still working in the same way as if I don't like my life when actually I love my life and I need to be more present, because I find that I'm just not appreciative of my life sometimes. I find that I'm not appreciative of my relationship. I'm not appreciative of my friendship. I'm not appreciative of, you know, just like stuff, because I'm constantly just thinking about moving on to the next thing. Like I said, Jack really helped me like stay present when I hit 500,000 subscribers, because he actually wanted to celebrate it. And it's about like celebrating like every single aspect of your life. Do you know what I mean? Sorry, we started out on like a really deep note, but like, it's actually so bad, like how I feel that I am not a very present person. So should we get on to our first out? Our first out is vaping. So I've shared on the podcast before that I vape. Yes, I talk about the environment, and I talk about fast fashion and how much it has a detrimental effect on the environment. And I vape disposable vapes. I know, it's honestly like my one thing. I'm so bad. To be fair, I don't use loads of them or anything. It's not like I get through multiple in a day or one a day or anything. But I have got an addiction to nicotine. I used to smoke. I smoked menthol cigarettes. I smoked from the ages of 15. I quit like once in between that, but I smoked from the age of 15 to 23. And then I quit smoking when I was 23 because they banned menthol cigarettes and I didn't like the taste of normal cigarettes. and they banned menthol cigarettes, so I quit smoking. And then I started vaping, and it's so much harder to quit vaping than it is to quit smoking. I've quit smoking before. It's so easy in the winter because like nothing is more humbling than having to fucking stick like 5 layers on. And especially if it's raining, having to like go under a shelter and smoke a cigarette and you come back absolutely reeking of like wet puffer coat and cigarette. Like, no. But it's like really, really hard to quit vaping because you can just do it indoors. And everybody around me vapes, but I will be there with my bells and whistles on the day that vapes get banned. They have been banned. It's just like the ban's not in action yet. But yeah, I'll be there with bells and whistles on, celebrating the ban. It's a good thing. Thank fucking God. So another in for 2024 is watching sad movies whilst you're hungover. I know this sounds absolutely deranged, but I find that I feel the true like depths of my emotions when I'm hungover. I am more fragile when I am hungover, and I feel like that's the perfect time to watch a sad movie because you truly get to like feel the emotions. So I watched Blue Valentine when I was hungover, literally one of the saddest films I've ever seen in my life, and it was so good because then for days after that I could not stop thinking about that film because of how much it emotionally impacted me. I was watching video essays about it. I was just like, I was a girl obsessed. And I just think it's good. Like, I've watched a lot of movies, and then last weekend I rewatched Sound of Metal when I was hungover again, cried, because it's like you view it in a different way. It's literally like you are like viewing it in a different way because your emotions are like in like a completely different way. Sorry, that sounds so dumb. My out for 2024 is boring love triangles. And my in for 2024 is love triangles, but make them gay. So I hate these boring, repetitive love triangles that are often on like Amazon Prime, and it's often called like My Summer with the Romano Brothers is the TikTok. You know the TikTok, this is how I spent summer with the Romano Brothers. And it's one of those shows like that, like, you know, Winter Blues in Arkansas with Romano and Jesse. Do you know what I mean? Like, it'll be some sort of show like that. And it's always, again, two good looking guys. One of them's a bad boy, one of them's a good boy, and a girl. And they're both fighting over the girl. And the boys have some kind of link, like they're either friends or they're brothers. But I mean, obviously, I do not want the love triangle to turn gay if they are brothers. disclaimer. but Jack described it as a love arrow, and it's so bloody true. These are not love triangles. Two guys fighting over one girl is not a love triangle. You know what would make it a love triangle? If two guys were fighting over the girl, but also those guys liked each other a little bit. There was some element, there was queerness to it. There was an element of homoeroticism to their friendship. There is something there. And I do not mean this in the fetishistic way, because I also think it should be done with women. And I also think we should either make just more queer storytelling, because this like repetitive love, Amazon Prime love triangle, I cannot take it any longer. I cannot take it any longer because it's so dull. Like, no wonder these series are literally getting cancelled after their first and second season, because who the fuck wants to carry on watching that? Love triangles had their moment in the 2000s. I especially think in the 2000s, love triangles were seen as like a lot more scandalous, because it was the 2000s was wild, but it was a slightly more conservative time. But obviously, like, you know, ideas progress, people progress, society becomes more progressive. That this love triangle shtick, it's just so boring. And if anything, I think people like are quite sour towards love triangles. I think a lot of people don't like watching like relationships be born from infidelity and things like that. I think people do want to see love in its purest and like most wholesome forms, but also I think we can see love portrayed in a tense way, right? In a tense way, and in an angry way, and in a longing way, and a passionate way. And I think that that is the key thing that so many of these TV shows that have that implement love triangles as a trope miss, is the passion and the chemistry. And I truly think that a movie or a show about a love triangle where it was an actual triangle and not an arrow would like benefit massively. And not a love triangle, like, another thing that I see used quite often within love triangles is that like there's two people in a relationship and their relationship is pretty dead in the water, and then another person comes in. I almost think a love triangle would be more like new and fresh and exciting was if there was like a relationship, but their relationship, they were pretty happy and it was still pretty passionate and they're still having sex and all of this, but then this third person comes in and sort of like mixes it up a little bit. Do you know what I mean? I don't know, guys, you should get me in the writer's room. So my next in is, oh no, my next out, my mistake. My next out is making excuses, open bracket, just bloody do it, closed bracket. So I am very much, I think it's a completely normal thing that when you want to do something, but it's out of your comfort zone and you don't want to do it, you will make excuses instead of just being like, I don't want to do it. So for me, my big thing that I made so many excuses for in 2023 was getting my Instagram like influencing vibe off the ground. I was just like, I don't want to do it. I don't have time. I don't know what I was really thinking. I think a lot of it was, I don't have time. And also I think another thing, and this was such a big thing, was that because I do a lot of fashion Instagram, my big thing was, oh, I'm not pretty enough to do it. Which I know is so crazy to think, I'm so stunningly gorgeous. But my big thing was that I didn't feel pretty enough to do it. And a lot of the girls that I saw that did fashion on Instagram are these really, you know, gorgeous, like naturally beautiful, probably aren't wearing a lick of makeup, girls. And I'd be like, I don't have the time to sit and do my makeup for an hour every day to take an Instagram picture. Da, 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 da. First of all, just take them without makeup. Like, stop whining. But yeah, it was just excuse after excuse. And I thought those excuses were the reason why I wasn't doing it. But the real reason why I wasn't doing it was because I felt intimidated and because I felt insecure. And I am so glad that I've started doing it because it's so much fun. Like, regardless of whether I get work out of it or not, because a lot of the reason why my managers wanted me to get onto Instagram was because I was missing out on a lot of like brand deals and stuff because my Instagram isn't really commercialized and I don't post a lot of reels and stuff. But for me, it's not even about that. Like, I just love like uploading my silly little reels and my silly little Instagram posts. It's so fun. Like, it's like a little passion project. But yeah, stop making excuses. If there's someone you're making an excuse for, it's very rare that the excuse is like actually valid. A lot of time the excuse is like hiding something that like an insecurity of why you don't want to do it. To be fair, you know, I actually did have a pretty valid excuse, and it was because I had to get a new phone because my last phone, oh my God. So my last phone, it was like an iPhone, I think it was like an iPhone 10 or an iPhone 11, maybe a 12 actually. And it had like 30 gigabytes of storage, which if you have an iPhone, it's literally nothing. And it was like bursting at the seams with storage. Even when I had iCloud pictures, it was so bad that I literally could not film any videos on it or anything. So I've got a new phone, feeling very slay. So in for 2024, British films, TV shows and media. I just love watching things that are set in the UK. I think, again, the media landscape is so American centric that it is just nice to watch films and TV shows from British directors and writers and set in the UK. Yeah, it's just fun. I love it. And then an out, impulse purchases. So I made a lot of impulse purchases in 2023. I'm gonna keep it real. Even though I make videos about overconsumption, I would say that I like obviously still fall into it. I do think that I'm still in that sort of trap of like constantly being in the, how do you describe it, like constantly in the process of wanting to buy something, which I don't feel like is a good way to live your life. I don't think it's a good way to live your life in the slightest. So I want to cut down on my impulse purchases. And you know what actually helps me so much when it comes to clothing, especially when it comes to impulse purchases, because shopping just makes me feel so good. I guess that's the point. One second, my boyfriend's texting me. You know what my big thing to stop me from impulse purchases is? Every single time I want to buy an item of clothing, I wait 1 month until I actually buy it. And I know that sounds so ridiculous, but a lot of clothes, you like, on first appearance, you might be like, oh, I love that. But sometimes it is just like an emotional reaction of you like it, but you might not necessarily like it on yourself. It might not fit into the rest of your wardrobe. And it is so good to really like mill over these things and think about these things. And I always wait at least 1 month until I buy nearly every single clothing, unless it's off Depop. But even on Depop, I give it a few days because again, I feel like Depop and Vinted is when the impulse purchases can get crazy, because there is that like, oh my God, someone else is gonna buy it, da, 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 da. there's like that sense of urgency. But yeah, waiting 1 month, because you'd honestly be surprised the amount of things that you're like, oh, I love that. And then as soon as you wait 1 month, you look at it and you're like, yeah, no, you know what? I'm actually really glad I did not buy that. Yeah, I put in my in waiting at least 1 month before every clothing purchase. Like, guys, I'm telling you, it is such a game changer. So my next out is comparing myself to others slash my peers. I always thought I was really good at not comparing myself to others when it came to like my friends who don't have the same job as me, because they don't have the same job as me. So I'm like, I'm doing my own thing, they're doing their own thing, we are maximizing our joint slay. But one thing I found that I was doing really quite badly was I was comparing myself to my peers. So I was comparing myself to other, you know, YouTubers and things like that. And you know what? YouTube is not the thing that I compare myself with. Often when you're comparing yourself to something that you feel insecure about. I would compare myself a lot when it came to my podcast and my podcast success. I would compare myself to people that I knew or knew of who were getting podcast deals, who were getting put on billboards and things like that. And it would make me feel so fucking bad about myself. And it would make me honestly like turn into a brat. And that is like something that I hate. One thing that I've been talking to my therapist about is the fact that one of my goals for 2024 is to start recognizing my dislike for certain things or certain people as jealousy. Like, I would be like, oh, like I don't like their content. Like, in my head, I'll be like, oh, I don't like their content, I think it's crap. But like, when in actuality, I'm probably jealous. Like, it's actually so, so common that those feelings are rooted in jealousy. But something that I found like that I was quite insecure about was my podcast. I thought I would turn into a brat. I would turn into like revert back to being a child, like stomping my feet. Like, it's not fair. It's not fair. When in reality, a lot of the people around me are getting crazy opportunities with their podcasts and getting to, you know, work with certain companies and their podcasts getting picked up and their podcasts are, sorry, losing my train of thought, and they get to be on billboards. It's because they're putting in the fucking work. And the one thing that I did do with my podcast was like, yeah, sure, I relaunched it, but I don't feel like I dropped off with it within a few months and I was no longer putting in the work that I used to put in with it. And I think that's so bad. I was no longer putting in the work. And I cannot then stomp my feet and throw a tantrum like a child and say, it's not fair. It's not fair. When somebody else is actually putting in more work than me. It's as simple as that. And that is my one, and that's one of the things that I want to stop doing, is I want to stop comparing myself, because comparing myself is turning me into a bitter person, and that's not the person that I want to be. Because the time, oh my God, look at me, I'm being such a self-help guru, but honestly, the time that you spend being bitter and comparing yourself to others could be time spent, you know, again, like with my podcast, time spent, you know, being bitter about somebody else's podcast is a time that I could have spent doing my own podcast. Like, hello, like the call is coming from inside the house, Jordan. So my in for 2024, another in, is being eclectic, but not for aesthetic purposes. So obviously, if you're on the side of TikTok that I'm on, a lot of people have been talking about eclectic grandpa discourse. There's a new aesthetic just dropped, everyone. The new aesthetic is eclectic grandpa. To be fair, by the time I upload this podcast, this aesthetic will probably be done and gone. But a new aesthetic is eclectic grandpa. And it's basically, again, like trying to sort of replicate those like eclectic like funky grandpas that you see. But the whole point of an eclectic grandpa is that he has gathered these, you know, clothes and trinkets and bits and bobs over time, like over his entire like 80 years of living, maybe 60 years if he's a young grandpa. And I don't know why I said that, sorry. What am I saying? Sorry. And it's like, it's not something that you can recreate for the sake of a TikTok or an aesthetic. But I do think that being eclectic is fun. But don't do it for the sake of an aesthetic. Do it because you like trinkets and things like that. You know, I think there's a huge, I guess there is like quite a lot of focus on like minimalism. But also, I think, guys, collect crap as long as you know that you are like going to display it in your home and use it. Something I've done recently, which is like such like small pleasures, but recently I actually finally put keyrings on my keys. So I was literally just like had two keys, that was it, like on a ring, like no like decorations about. And I noticed I could not find my keys in my bag. So I was like, you know what, I'm gonna get some key rings. So I got like some pink dice, I got a little smiley face, I got a little kitty, and then me and Jack have matching orange slices, referring to The Orange by Wendy Cope, the poem. We have matching orange slices. And now I just look at my keys and I smile because I'm like, oh my God, it's so cute. And my living room is like really eclectic and like I've got so many little bits and bobs about. And I just absolutely love it. I just absolutely love it. So, an out. Don't get too crazy with the eclecticness out, guys, because my out is overconsumption. I cannot, to be fair, last year, it wasn't too bad, but I remember a couple years ago, I overconsumed so much. Like, I actually could not believe it. So that's just a given, out overconsumption. So an in is not wearing any makeup, and my out to go with that is calling myself ugly without makeup on. I have such a complex about the way that I look without any makeup on. I don't know where it's come from. To be fair, my family did used to make many comments about how different I looked with makeup on, so perhaps it's from there. Thank you, family, thank you. But I feel like I look so drastically different without makeup on, and it's to the point where I feel like I'm beginning to get out of it now, but I used to feel dirty when I didn't have makeup on, which is so sad. It's so sad that I used to feel dirty without any makeup on. Like, what the hell is wrong with me? But recently I've started posting on Instagram without any makeup on. I do eventually want to record some podcast episodes without any makeup on. We're going to have to wait and see for that one. And I just want there to be less pressure for me to wear makeup all the time. I've done a good job. I only wear makeup once a week on the weekends. I never go to work in makeup. And I've started getting a little bit of a skincare routine down. Not like a proper one. Like I do a double cleanse with Cetaphil and then I moisturize with like this big Nivea moisturizer. And it helps me feel a lot less like dirty without makeup on. But I just think we actually need to normalize just going about without makeup on, because it's literally our natural forms. And the fact that I feel like I look unpresentable when I don't have makeup on, it's tapped, like, guys. So my in for 2024, next in, is expressing love to the ones that you love. This is something which I feel like I'm really bad at. I feel like I'm really bad at like randomly buying gifts for people or like expressing my love in letters and things like that. It was actually mine and Lem's anniversary a couple weeks ago, and he wrote me the most beautiful card. Let me read a little quote for you guys. I've literally told this to everyone because when he read this out to me, I'm not even joking, guys, I cried. So I have to read it all to you. If the perfect words to describe you were real, they would be printed and posted in every gallery across the globe, for you are a breathtaking masterpiece of a woman. Isn't that like, that is generally the nicest thing that anybody has ever said about me. And I need to start putting in that work and like writing letters to people, you know, buying random gifts for people, sending people flowers, like things like that. Like, I'm so, so bad at it. And I want to get good at it for the new year. And I'm beginning to run out of steam here. Sorry, guys. So my next out is dogpiling successful/famous women. This is a given. Every year I feel like I see a dogpile on a famous woman and I absolutely hate it. In clearing out your phones/electronics. Oh my God, I really need to clear out my phone. I have OCD. Like, I actually have OCD. Not that I have OCD. I'm so quirky. I actually have the mental illness of OCD. So I have to screenshot everything 4 times. Don't. So my phone is so crowded. Like, no wonder my other phone was bursting at the seams because I was saving everything 4 times. I had 4 times the amount of things, about of like pictures and videos that I needed. But yeah, no, clear out your phones, clear out your technologies, clear out your digitals. You know what I did recently? I cleared out my makeup bag. I cannot recommend it more. Ladies and gents and NBs who are listening, I can bet my bottom dollar that you guys have got stuff in your makeup bag that you do not even touch. But you put it in there because you're like, oh, I want to use that soon. I want to use that soon. And you never use it. Take it out. It's taking up precious room. Just take it out. I do also want to buy a new makeup bag this year because my Huda Beauty palette exploded in it and the entire bottom of the makeup bag is just bright pink now because it's covered in bright pink eyeshadow. So my next out is situationships. This doesn't apply to me because I've been in a relationship for the past 3 years. But I do think that this does apply to many people that I see on TikTok. Because how do I swipe past people's TikToks and they're like 27 and they're like, I'm in a situationship? How? Sorry, that was really horrible actually. But I am just like, look, I'm very much of the belief if he wanted to, he would. The reason why you're not boyfriend and girlfriend is because he doesn't want you to be his girlfriend. And that's not a reflection on you. That's a reflection on him and his poor taste. But it also could be a fact that you guys just aren't right for each other. And that is completely fine. My next in for 2024 is reading fiction because I find that reading nonfiction can be really hard and you feel like you're barely making a dent in the book and that can be really demotivating. Read some fiction, and that's why I'm reading tomorrow. What is the next one? Sorry, I'm gonna start trying to speed through these a little bit because oh my god, I'm running out of steam. Out, getting mad or angry, getting mad / angry at your girlfriend for getting too drunk. This is something which I feel like is really common amongst men, and I do not know why. I have had two of my ex-boyfriends get really angry at me for getting too drunk. And the one thing I will say is that nobody gets drunk intentionally. Like, nobody gets like throwing up messy drunk, like literally paralytic, is that it? Yeah, paralytic with intention. No one wants to get like that. So don't get angry at your girlfriend for getting too drunk. It's not her fault. It's my one pet peeve about men. Like, being in a relationship with Lem, I have had like too much to drink in front of him before, thrown up, and he has been like so supportive and not angry at me the next day. And I think that's so good. And the thing is that it goes both ways. Like, in my last relationship, if he got a bit too drunk and started throwing up, I would then get annoyed at him because he got annoyed at me over it. And I felt like in a way I was sort of getting him back. But with Lem, because he's so supportive of me when I have too much to drink, when he has too much to drink, I'm very supportive of him as well. So my next in is going to the dentist. I am going to go to the dentist this year. I have not been to the dentist in 10 years. I'm nervous, but also I think I've got this. My next out for 2024 is men mocking women in their shitty TikTok sketches. You know the TikTok sketches where men are like, women at bottomless brunches be like, and then they're like, woo, like cheers, and they're doing like the boomerang and stuff, and they're just completely taking the piss out of women. Those are my absolute pet peeves because all of the men that make those sketches, they want to go to bottomless brunches. They want to have mimosas. They want to have porn star martinis and they want to do boomerangs. It's just the only way that they can do it, which would be acceptable to their male peers, who are the only people that they look for approval for, is the only acceptable way of doing that is to do it whilst mocking women. Like, it's literally the only way. And it's always, oh my God. And you know what is crazy is that it's always men that are like, as soon as you mention any sort of struggle you have about being a woman, the first thing they say is, what about men's mental health? Okay, like, what's that called? Do you know what I mean? Anyways, we're nearly at the end. So my in for 2024, another in, is getting my smear test. I'm getting my smear test next week. I've been putting it off for 4 months. I have vaginismus, which I've spoken about in the podcast before. So I am pretty nervous. But I think I've got this. I think it's going to be fine. I'm feeling pretty calm about it. I'm also getting my hair done afterwards. I'm dyeing my hair a different color. Who's excited? Me. And my next out, this is my last out for 2024. Films that are over 2 hours long that absolutely do not need to be. I do not know what has happened to films, but what happened to films being an hour and a half long? I do not know why every single film is 2 hours and 20 minutes. There's no need. And I'm not talking about good films. Like, Anatomy of a Fall was nearly 2.5 hours long and it was worth it. So, so good. But I've watched so many films recently where I'm like, you could have shaved off 50 minutes and this would have been so much better. Because every film, like the baseline of film now is 2 hours and 20 minutes. And that's just absolutely ridiculous because some films are just, there's not actually the content in it to span for that long. So it just becomes repetitive and it drags out and it makes the film worse and it makes my Letterboxd rating for it absolutely plummet. Okay, who's ready for my last in for 2024? I feel like this one is, I'm leaving perhaps the best till last, and it is Having a Bush, okay? So I am very pro women having bushes because one thing I've realized is that when it comes to body hair, women, we are just not allowed to have it. We just aren't allowed. And I think it's such a shame that, like, sure, look, if you prefer then being no hair down there, go ahead. But I think we actually need to start reevaluating why we feel this way about our own body hair. Why do we feel like we need to shave every part of our vagina until it's like red, raw, and really itchy and uncomfortable? Like, and I'm not saying that you've got to grow it all out and go full Kate Bush here. Like, I trim my bush. Sorry, this feels so TMI, but we're all girls here. And guys and MBs, you're all welcome. But you know what I mean? You're all huns. But like, I trim it in the shower. So it's still short, but there's like hair there. Okay, I'm very much a bush girly. I'm in a long-term relationship. I have not shaved in months, perhaps even years. And I remember when me and Len first started dating, obviously I shaved it all off because, you know, that's just how it is. And I remember I asked him, I was like, do you prefer it when there's hair there, when there's no hair there? And he said that he's like, honestly, I do not mind. I don't mind at all. And then I asked, and then as like, obviously our relationship has gone on, I now no longer really shave. I literally just have a bush that I trim. I asked him and he was like, no, you know what? I'm actually going to keep it real. I actually much prefer it with hair. Like I actually prefer the look of it so much. And I prefer the look of it as well. It's just about untraining yourself out of thinking that pubes are bad. And I'm not being funny, girls. If you're dating someone, and it will often be a guy, because if you're dating a girl, they probably won't care if you have a bush. But if you're dating a guy and he's got a problem with you having a bush, sack him off. That is an immature man. That is an absolutely immature man. Are we going to wrap up the episode here? Oh my God, guys, this was so much fun. I missed you guys so, so much. I'm so, so excited to be back. And I am excited for the next episodes that I've got lined up for you. We've got so many cool guests coming and I'm so, so excited. And yeah, I'll see you in next week or a couple of weeks. I'm not sure what my schedule is yet, for a new episode. Bye.